You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill Racing Radio Podcast for Sunday the 27th of March, or Easter Sunday as it's more commonly known. I'm Jack Critchley. I'm delighted to be joined by Mick Norton, who's going to accompany me for the next 10 or 15 minutes or so to look at Sunday's racing. How are you?
Yes, good, thanks. Some cracking stuff domestically and in Ireland. So a really good Super Sunday to look forward to.
Absolutely, yeah.
And all jumps dominated, of course. Well, the flats are creeping upon us now. It never goes away, really, does it? But a really good jumping card of jumping aficionados who have still got poor Cheltenham Blues will have something to cheer them up Super Sunday.
It's a good time of the season, isn't it, at the moment, with, as you say, with the flat coming back in.
Yep.
The jump's still very much in full flow. You know, every weekend there's pretty much something to look forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. Great stuff.
And yesterday, I don't know how you spent your Good Friday, but 10,000 people spent it at Lingfield for the all-weather card.
I know, and you know, they've kept their word, haven't they? We did wonder if they were going to sort of back up their big talk about putting on a bonanza card for Good Friday.
Yeah.
But the good horses turned up, didn't they?
They did. And some of them won as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a really good... and I think... Jack, especially good pointers for the coming weeks, so which trainers have got their horses in good form. I mean, from the north, it looks as though Mark Johnson and Richard Fahey have got their string well forward. His old stable stalwart Alban Starr winning the Class 2, worth nearly 100 grand that race in Lingfield.
Yeah.
Yesterday, what a star he's been for his owners, Kenny Shannon and Mike Scaife. And another trainer to keep an eye on over the coming weeks is Mick Shannon, who seems to have his string in good form. And I'll tell you what Mick's doing, he's using Graham Gibbons a lot. Now, you just have a look at the stats when those two team up. They are excellent. So whenever you see M. Shannon booking G. Gibbons, you take note. Double on the card for Gibbons yesterday at Lingfield. He also won for Mick Shannon on Volunteer Point, but he also won for his northern boss, if you like, David Barron on Volovitz later on in the card. And wasn't it great to see Grendisau sort of got the winning habit again? I know when he gets speed, it's not always his fault because he does need races to just pan out for him, but it's great to see him running up a little sequence again back at his beloved Lingfield, where I forget what his stats are there now, but it's sixth course and distance win yesterday. He's a tremendous horse, Grendisau, isn't he? And I think it was a fantastic day's racing throughout. Plenty to take out of the results at both Wolverhampton and at Lingfield. And also on the card at Wolverhampton, Richard Fahey had another winner there. Just to what we said, keep an eye on the Fahey horses in the coming weeks and months. Mark Johnson, ditto.
Yeah, absolutely. Grendisau beating Firefighting by a length for Marco Botti, as you mentioned. Good to see him back out. And yeah, the sunshine will have helped. But I'll tell you what, if you'd bagged some of that prize money, that would have just improved your day even more.
It was horrendous. And they got good fields, good racing, good crowd. What more could you ask for on a Good Friday, which used to be a dark day, of course?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's thanks to Lingfield. And it's nice to see Lingfield full as well, because you sort of think back to days in January where there's, you know, only a couple of people watching on. It's great to see it absolutely packed.
Absolutely.
To the rafters.
Well done to them.
Yeah, and of course, Luke Morris wrapped up the all-weather jockeys title as well.
Yeah, they work hard through the winter, these boys, all over the country in all sorts of weather. And to rack up 86 winners, well done to Luke, who I think has streamlined himself a bit. He used to be very sort of too many moving parts for me in his riding style, but I think he's tightened all that up, whether that's jockey coaching or not. They do now, a lot of the lads. I used to do lectures for the racing colleges a few years ago, and at the time I used to start off my lectures to these little shiny faced youngsters sat there, who's the best golfer in the world? That was my first line to them. And of course, they look at me blank. I thought we were, you know, they'd say, what's this guy on about? And I'd say, who's the best golfer in the world? Somebody eventually pipe up Tiger Woods, which he was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, well, tell me then, if Tiger Woods is the best golfer in the world, why does he need a full-time coach? And the reason he needs a full-time coach is to keep him as the best golfer in the world, isn't he? And at that time, they were unheard of jockeys' coaches.
Yeah.
And the point I was trying to make to them was that you ride a winner, you don't know it all, not by any means. Just think about Tiger Woods whenever you ride a winner. Think, well, what would Tiger Woods do? He'd go on to his coach and say, what did I do wrong? Even though I've ridden a winner. Hope I got through to him. But
yeah, well, even when riding a winner, I suppose you go to your coach and say, right, how did I achieve that? What can I, you know, where can I improve? And, you know, obviously, as you say, it might, I mean, Luke Morris, you know, it might have come with experience as well, but I'm pretty sure there will have been coaching involved.
Yeah. Well, when I was riding, Joe Simon was a well-known Northern Flat jockey. Joe was sort of took me under his wing when I was an apprentice at Sam Hall's, and he retired shortly after. And I became a jump jockey, and I had to ring Joe every day I'd been riding. And did you thank the owner for the ride? He didn't want to know if I'd winners. Did you thank the owner for the ride? What happened to the ones that didn't win? Did you get off them and thank them for the ride again and kind of love to ride again? He was so on to me all the time about my behaviour off the saddle as well as on it, which was, I never forgot that. It was always on my mind that, what will Joe say if I make a mess of this, you know?
Yeah.
He was there. And he was sort of, not my jockey coach, because he wasn't giving me technical advice, although he did when I was an apprentice, riding work with him at Sam Holt.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But I never forgot any of it. But later on, it was how I behaved he was more concerned with.
Yeah, and more etiquette advice, I suppose.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, congratulations to Luke Morris, of course. 86 winners is no mean feat. And Mick Appleby as well, wrapping up the Trainers' Championship.
Which is a good effort, because Godolphin are now targeting the all-weather, which they never used to. They never used to have a run after October, did they, in the country?
No.
Now,
they're all over the place.
They are. So well done to Mick Appleby for seeing off Godolphin.
Yep, always good to see, I suppose. In that case, a slight underdog win.
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know in terms of, he's probably not, but in terms of against Godolphin, he very much is.
Battling the big battalions of Godolphin, it's not easy. Anybody who thinks it's easy, go and try it.
Yeah.
Go and try it.
Well, there's the gauntlet laid down.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Mick Appleby and Luke Morris, as we said. And there's plenty of decent racing on, actually, as we said on Sunday. Plumpton we're going to begin with, and this is the 4 o'clock, but it's the Sussex Champion Hurdle, Class 2. At the moment we have 11 runners in this one. Decent prize money, I suppose, for this one. 11 runners, how do we sort them out here?
Yeah, we've got last year's winner, Dormello Mo, coming here. If you take Harry Cobden's £5 claim into account, he's going to be running off the same mark as when he won this off in 2015 under Sam Twiston Davis. But I'll tell you what, he will relish the return to hurdling on this better ground. He's been chasing and on baddish ground. I think he's a big player, Dormello Mo, with Harry's five and back to hurdling, back at Plumpton. Sam, whether it's political, whether they want the claim off him, Sam's switched to Vincenzo Mio, who ran a really good race the other day at, I think it was at Taunton. Just give Paul Nicholls a strong hand in the race. He was headed close home at Taunton last time, but he did pick it up a long way out. And I would just think, I just get the feeling that Sam Twiston Davis might have just thought he got there a bit early. It wasn't a bad run. He got Nestorenko just got ahead of steam up on the run in and nailed him close home. I just think Sam might hold on to him a little bit longer than he did at Taunton. And I'm going to give him the vote. Disputed. Looks an each way bet to nothing. This better ground is a big, big plus for him, and has got an excellent chance on that Kempton Park second, three outings ago. Probably forget the last two. If it was six in the National Spirit, just there to make up the numbers, I think he'd no chance of winning that. And unseated his rider last time. What was going well, but it was a long way from home, and he could well outrun his price and reward each way support. But I'm going to go with Vincenzo Mio. To double up in the race for Trainer, even though he's got last year's winners, Dormello Mo, I think he'll win it with his other one, Vincenzo Mio.
Okay, Vincenzo Mio, then the selection for Mick. We'll come back to Plumpton in a short while for the ten past five even. Just to sort of point out that at the moment the going is listed as good to soft, good in places, but yeah, there is rain forecast for
that's
tomorrow morning.
That's the trouble. That's what we're up against, isn't it, when we're doing it 24 hours in advance. But if things stay as they are, I don't think I'll bother Vincenzo Mio too much, but my each way are there disputed. He wouldn't want it to go soft.
No. I mean, there is rain. How much, we don't know, so obviously wait and see about that. But we're going to head further north for the next race. 10 minutes later, the 410 at Sedgefield. It's a Class 2. It's the part of the Hurdle Series final. This is over the 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Quite a big field here to sort out. 14 runners.
Yeah.
Where do we begin?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the top weight, Rydell Racer, who was looked the winner here last time when capsizing two out. When actually, didn't fall himself, unseated the rider. It was a big groan from the crowd that day because he was a heavily backed favourite. Probably the handicap at the back of his mind has given him a handicap marker caught as if he was going to win that with 122. Whether his previous form, what in novices warrants that. But I think he's still a player. Brian Hughes back on board from trainer Malcolm Jefferson, who has a good record at Sedgefield, both Hughes and Jefferson. So although he's a worthy top weight, he might just be vulnerable to something a little bit better handicapped. I like Just Georgie. He's, if you go back to his entry form in November, the winner is now rated 135. I know, and ran in the Supreme Novices at Cheltenham. I know it didn't win it, but he's now rated 135. Just George is in here off 115. He's knocking on the door with a good run at Weatherby last time. Ran well on his only previous start, and on that entry November form, that mark of 115 is fair enough. Just George is going to get the vote. Another one, can't quite get a handle on this, Oak Vintage, came out the blue last time for that course and distance win, defied his odds of 22-1, I think, with a smooth course and distance win under today's rider, Jamie Hamilton, taking off the five. And I think the mark of 112 for his handicap debut is fair enough. I'll take those three against the field with Just George. You'll probably go off 8 or 9 to 1. The each way player for me.
Okay, Just Georgie and also Oak Vintage as well to consider. That is the 410 at Sedgefield. We are going to head to Ireland. You mentioned at the top of the podcast that, well, there's a couple of good cards, Cork and Fairy House. We're going to look at Fairy House and we're going to pay particular attention to the Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase, which is a Grade 1. It's over the 2 miles and 4 furlongs. There's 8 here, and we hope there's 8 when it goes off as well, because we could possibly get a good each-way price here.
Yeah, I think there will be as well. Kerry Lee has sent over Calmore Lock, bidding for a 5-timer as he steps into a Grade 1 company. Confidence must be sky high. He's got a new jockey, not a bad one either. Barry Geraghty replacing the injured Jamie Moore, who's broken his collarbone. So they've gone for Barry Geraghty with all of his experience round Fairy House. Well worth another try at the top level. He wasn't placed in the Albert Bartlett at the 2015 festival, but he's a fast improving 7-year-old and he's technically the highest rated horse in the race, even though he's going back, well, his first try in graded company over fences, so we'll have to see how he gets on. Michael O'Leary looks as though he's desperately trying to win his own money back here. He's got Outlander with Brian Cooper on board, Willie Mullins, the trainer of that one. He was still going well, you know, when he fell 4 out in the GLT, and he went to Cheltenham on a high after having won a Grade 1 and 2 at Leopardstown and Limerick. This is a lot easier, I think, and I think he's got a big chance, Outlander, and he's going to be the selection. Jigginstown are also represented by Lord Scoundrel, who's been keeping good company and did find a nice confidence-boosting opener in Thurles last time, where he beat Tennis Cap, who's come out and franked the form. The other one to consider is Sizing Platinum. If anything goes wrong with the big guy, big guns, he's usually relied upon to run his race. He only wins in summer. Funnily enough, his wins have come in May and June, but he's got sound winter place form and he's got an each way shout on his best efforts. So I have a little bit each way on Sizing Platinum, but I do think Outlander's been found a good Grade 1 winning opportunity.
Okay, Outlander, the selection then for Willie Mullins and Brian Cooper. That's in the 4:15 at Fairy House, as I said, the Ryanair Gold Cup Novice Chase. Some really good racing tomorrow. And we are back to Plumpton now for it's a Class 3 handicap chase.
They race at Sussex National.
Yeah.
And you see, that if we do get that range out that you were talking about, this is going to turn this on its head.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You'd have to have another look, wouldn't you? But let's assume the rain's going to stay away for now, or there's going to be a light sprinkling in the morning. It's over the 3 miles and four, so if it does get a bit boggy, you're looking for something to stay here.
Definitely. Yeah, I think Krakatoa King fills the bill. Same mark as a length third at Warwick behind Incentivise. It was a real out-and-out stay. That was in fairly testing conditions at Warwick that day. Still unexposed over fences and a big player, if none the worse for... hard enough race at Warwick, but he had 14 days to get over it. And I think he's been found a winning opportunity here. The weights are headed by Sarok, Richard Johnson. A rare ride for Venetia. Doesn't ride very often for the Goddess, does he? But here he is on Sarok. Still £4 higher than the last win and has beaten miles in the last four. Handicap of just drip, 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 pound here, pound there. I still think he wants a bit more help. And it's not going to be easy to hump top weight around there. Tour de Champs. Interesting, they've gone for the pieces from the informed Tristan Davis stable. He's only a pound higher than the last win now and a bit better the last two starts since disappointing in the Welsh National. He rates a danger to them all, Tour de Champs. And down at the bottom, don't know what to make of Cool King. He's won his last two, so we're going there with high-profile figures, but his last two wins were over hurdles and he was totally unconvincing over fences prior to that. So... don't know what to expect. I like the stable, I like the rider, but I don't know what to expect from Cool King back over fences. I'm going to play safe with Krakatoa King.
Okay, Krakatoa King, the selection then, in the 5.10 from Plumpton. So you heard mixed selections. It's a really good day's racing, one to really look forward to.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd have gone into more depth with the Irish cards, but Andy Holding will be doing them on the separate podcast, so I didn't want to sort of go over Andy's ground, but I couldn't resist that. Gold Cup.
It's going to be a cracking race, and as Mick said, Andy Holding will be here tomorrow looking at the Irish card. You can find that and all of the podcasts on williamhill.com in the news section. Mick, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Jack.
And I hope you enjoy and tomorrow's racing, and a few of your selections come up as well.
I hope so. I might be having a little Yankee tomorrow.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.